The sermon scripture for today comes from Romans chapter 8. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was in the sixth grade, we learned how to do line dancing in gym class. Now, did any of you have dancing lessons in gym class? Maybe the hokey pokey or square dancing? Or for the younger ones in the crowd, the Dougie? It's possible. If you don't know what that is, ask your children or grandchildren. They'll tell you. Now, line dancing is more country western in nature, but pretty much people anywhere can learn how. What you do is you simply learn each step one by one, and then you put it all into sequence, and then you join in with everyone else who's doing the exact same thing at the exact same time. Now, usually it's pretty simple in nature, but it can get complicated. Sometimes you have to slap your heel, turn around, hit the ground, and touch the sky all at the same time. Now, those sequences may take the entire song to get down. But usually, with each sequence, it gets a little less hopeless for you and a little easier to get down. And by the end, you will feel pretty confident that you know this line dancing routine. Now, getting the rhythm down is possible, even for the most rhythmically challenged of us, such as myself. And so it is with God's rhythm. Sometimes we go on our own rhythms, choosing what we do when and how. We think we have it all together. But then God always has a way of showing us in those times in our lives that we might be a little off, that we might benefit from patience and waiting for the right time to act, or from letting go of our fears and our laziness and striking when the iron is hot. Our rhythm is off. But never fear, because God's song is not over. It is far from over. It has been going on since the beginning of time, with each of us coming in our own time and stumbling a little bit as we get to know God's rhythm. And with patience, God will continue to love us as we try over and over again to get the steps down and to get on God's rhythm instead of our own. Perhaps Reverend T.D. Jakes said it best when he said, quote, "Timing is so important. If you are going to be good at dance, you must be able to respond to rhythm and timing. It's the same in the Spirit. people who don't understand God's timing can tend to be spiritually spastic, trying to make the right things happen at the wrong time. They don't get his rhythm, and everyone can tell they are out of step. They birth things prematurely, threatening the very lives of their God-given dreams. End quote. Can you relate to that? Have you ever been spiritually spastic? If you're spiritually spastic right now, or have been in the past, you are not alone. Now, I wanted to show you something, talking about being spiritually spastic and out of rhythm. Last week, I ordered a book to help me with this sermon that had stories of bad things happening that turned out for the good for the person that had it happen to them. And as I walked in this morning, that book was in my mailbox. So I didn't get to use it. But if you ever need a good story of that, here it is. You can use that book if you want. In those moments, we lend our ears to God and listen for his song to come through so that we can get back in step. The song is not over. We just have to get back in step. And that's when the beauty of Paul's words come in, and they help to put things in perspective. In his letter to the Romans, he is writing to the Christians of Rome, whom he has never met. He had no personal stake in founding this church, whereas with all the other churches he is writing to, he felt a lot of ownership and was personally bothered by the infighting and disagreements that were happening. Thus, in those letters, he deals with very specific issues, wanting these churches to work out whatever their problems are with one another. But with Rome, he knows very little about the specifics and instead wants to help them prevent themselves from going through what the other churches have gone through. Therefore, the Romans is the closest to Paul's theological summary of beliefs that we have. He wants to stress those things that are most important about the Christian faith to those Christians in Rome so that hopefully they can concentrate on those things and not get caught up in other issues. Rome was the greatest city in the world at that time, so he felt a great responsibility in making sure that the Church of Rome really understood what the Christian faith is all about. This is when we come to Romans chapter 8. In verse 18, he tells us, "For I am convinced that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Whatever is going on right now, whatever pain you are going through, is nothing compared to the glory that is to come. He is telling Rome to keep strong in their faith. He is warning them not to get caught up in the minutiae of the details of our faith, but to keep faith that God's song will be beautiful when all is said and done. Of course, Paul knows that with any group of people coming together, there will be disagreements and troubles. And that is when he advises, "Even so, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray, if we are to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings deeper than words. But he who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because it is by God's will that he intercedes for those whose lives are consecrated to God." Finally, we come to verse 28, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Paul tells us, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called to his purpose." Now, the first word I want to concentrate on is together. For if we look at one incident that happened in our lives, it is easy to become bitter, to get caught up in that and ask, why me, God? Why this? But if we look at it all working together for good, then it becomes more clear. The other thing is the word good in this context. It is not referring to earthly comfort, but to closer fellowship with God and being closer to the example of Christ and living our lives as Christ lives his. It means that we will bear fruit for the kingdom and come into final glory. Therefore, all that we have gone through, all the painful moments, the difficult trials, will help us to know God more and to bear fruit for the kingdom. That truly is a good thing. Again, with this verse, Paul is encouraging the Church of Rome to look at the big picture, to see that God is in charge and that we have to trust in his rhythm. Because when we let anxiety rule over us, that is when we start to act in ways that are counterproductive to the will of God. I don't know about you, but when hard times hit, I go into planning mode. I start to look for the perfect solution and don't rest until I find it. But I'm learning day by day that sometimes the inner mission is the most beautiful part of any orchestra or symphony or musical, because it's in the intermission that all of the songs of the first act combine in your mind and play a gorgeous melody for you that was never even in the first act. It is a song that comes together in your own being just for you. And that is beautiful. Now, there are some practices we can do that also help us to grow in relationship to God and to bear fruit. My favorite spiritual practice comes from the Benedictine monks and is based on reading God's word in a way that helps to really listen to what God is saying. It is not about learning the cultural background and the history of the text, but is simply about being open to God in this moment. Some of you may have tried the practice of Lectio Divina, and if you haven't, I recommend that you do so. Traditionally, Lectio Divina has four separate steps: read, meditate, pray, and contemplate. First, a passage of scripture is read, then its meaning is reflected upon. This is followed by prayer and contemplation on the Word of God, and it can be done in many different ways. Its purpose is so we are conscious that we are not putting our own meaning on the passage, but are instead open to hearing what God is saying to us. If you are currently in a time where your rhythm is off, I suggest trying it. I know I explained it very briefly, but if you Google Lectio Divina, you will find a lot of good tools for it. Besides spiritual practices, prayer can also help us in this effort to grow closer to God. New Testament scholar C.H. Dodd states, "Prayer is the divine in us appealing to the divine above us." Isn't that great? Let me say it again. Prayer is the divine in us, appealing to the divine above us. Now, I heard about a man who was out in the ocean on his boat, and a big storm came up. His boat was capsized, and he ended up on a deserted island. Month after month went by, and he was miserable all by himself. Just when he thought things couldn't get worse, he went out for food one day And when he came back, he saw that his thatched roof hut that he had built was on fire. It was like pouring salt in the wound as he watched the hut burn. And he said to God, God, I give up. I asked you for help. And one bad thing after another happened. About that time, he looked way off into the distance and could see a boat coming toward him. He perked up as it got closer, and sure enough, it was the Coast Guard. He was so excited. He ran onto the boat and was thrilled as he said to the captain, how in the world did you find me? And the captain said, we saw the smoke from the fire that you built. Sometimes what we think is a disappointment is God simply getting us in the position to be blessed. We just have to trust His timing and know that God will bless us in some form through it all. Mourning may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. God's rhythm may not always make sense to us, but if we get in step, the end result will be a beautiful song, one we could never have imagined while we were going through it all. But God, the grand composer, is not done composing yet. When you're learning the steps of the dance, it can be a little awkward. You are going to stumble. You might even fall once or twice. You're going to have moments where you look like you have two left feet. Perhaps you might even take a moment to go and sit on the sidelines and watch others do it. But in those times, we must remember that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. I remember when I first came back to Colorado after seminary and being a pastor for a while in California. I had been pretty isolated there and wanted to be closer to family. I had also missed working with youth, which I had done in seminary. So when an opportunity came to be the youth pastor in Fort Collins, I jumped at the possibility. I was so excited about it. I thought that this would be the big chance in ministry. Once I started the job, however, it quickly became clear that it was not a good fit. For whatever reason, I didn't connect with the teenagers there like I had with the ones in California. During all of that, I couldn't imagine why God possibly would have sent me to Fort Collins. But 2 weeks into being in Fort Collins, I went to the Centura Mall in Loveland and met a man who offered to show me around the area. He was sweet and mild-mannered and also challenged me when I needed it. And he ended up being everything that I was looking for. 3 years later, Jamie and I are coming up on our first wedding anniversary, next Sunday, actually, and I couldn't be happier. I thought that I was going to Fort Collins for a job, but God had something else in store. It was all in God's timing, not my own. Now, when we are offbeat, we tend to do a lot of things to cope. Perhaps your marriage is ending, and to cope, you've started a habit that you know isn't healthy. Or maybe you've lost a loved one, and you can't seem to get out of the house. Or perhaps the career path that you had dreamed of for years didn't end up the way you thought. And you start to act out, wondering where your place is. And the more we depend on those coping mechanisms, the more out of step we become. When hardships happen in our lives, we may begin to let those moments define us. We forget to live by how God defines us. You are not a woman going through a divorce. You are not a widower who lost the love of his life. You are not a person without a job. You are a beloved child of God. That is what defines you. All the other qualifiers are just ways in which we realize how important it is to listen for God's rhythm to come through for us in those circumstances. Suffering may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's when prayer and trusting God can become the most life-saving forces in our lives. It's powerful to say in those times, God, I don't understand it. But even though it doesn't make sense to me, I know you have a plan. Your will, not mine. Your rhythm, not mine. Believe me, trusting in God and his rhythm doesn't always come easily. But when we are ready for the intermission, we find ourselves waiting with joy for the beautiful song to come. I want to thank all of you for your love and support over the last 2 years and for celebrating with Jamie and I through our wedding. It has truly been a blessing to know you all. And though I've always been a little offbeat, I know that God's rhythm will be made clear in God's own time. God bless you all. Now let us join. Thank you.